It's a frightful sight to see what goes on Halloween night.
Good evening to all you tympanic membranes out there. You're listening to the 2020 North Carolina Radio Play Festival on the CPF Radio Hour. My name is Manny Mandible.
And I'm Max Maxilla. Call me Maxine and you'll die.
A Max called by any other name is really not worth it.
Together, we're two skeletons in the closet, the most trusted shock jocks of 2020.
Max, I do believe you changed your hairstyle.
I did. 3 weeks ago. And you see me every day.
And you thought you can just hide it from me. The Master Perceiver. I'm a regular Jacob Sparrow.
Jacob who?
Jacob Sparrow, Private Eye. Only one of the greatest gumshoes to ever hit the airwaves. In fact, here's his latest adventure, The Case of the Haunted Inheritance by Andy Ralston Osamendi. Stay tuned.
I was sitting in my office around 4:45 with my feet on the desk, leaning back in the chair with my eyes closed. The sounds of the city rushed in the window like air escaping a tire after a punk punches it with his switchblade. It had been a slow month. The only bit of work was a photo I took on surveillance that was going to make a future ex-wife and her lawyer very happy. The only reason I was hanging out in the office is it was that dreaded holiday known as Halloween. I barely had enough dough to eat, much less to give out free candy to every little beggar in a costume brave enough to grace my door. I wasn't going home until I was sure that it was past their bedtime. I just started to doze off when there was a knock on the door. She flowed across the floor like gravity didn't affect her the way it does us mere mortals. As she moved, her red hair flowed around her head like a mermaid underwater. I was sure I was just dreaming, but then she spoke.
Are you Jacob Sparrow, Private Eye?
Who's asking?
My name is Abigail Fitzsimmons, and I'm in need of some help. Help I'm willing to pay for.
That's my favorite kind of help. Yes, I'm Jacob Sparrow. How can I help you?
Well, I've inherited my Aunt Gertrude's mansion over on Magnolia Drive.
Ah, so you're one of those Fitzsimmons.
I'm not sure what you mean by that, but yes, that is my family. As I was saying, I inherited my aunt's house, and there is a problem with it. It seems to be haunted.
Did you say haunted?
Yes.
Sounds like you need Madame Colette. Her shop is just a couple of blocks up the street.
I don't think she would help. Besides, I don't believe in all that black magic nonsense.
But you think your house is haunted?
I think someone wants me to believe it is, so I will leave. I am a bit of a black sheep in the family. I went off to pursue a singing career instead of marrying appropriately and settling down. There are other relatives who were quite disturbed that I was given the house.
I see. Typical sour grapes after a rich widow dies and her will is read.
Exactly.
Why are you coming to me on Halloween, and at this late in the day?
I am having a Halloween party tonight, and I want someone there to keep an eye out so nothing happens to my guests. I pick you.
So no other private dick would do it, huh? Which one put you onto me? I'll bet it was that low-life Corbin.
Fine. Yes, no one else would take the case. And, yes, Mr. Corbin said you were probably desperate enough and lacked the social life to have anything else to do on Halloween.
I knew it.
Was he wrong? Do you have somewhere else to be tonight?
No, but I still loathe him for saying so. Go ahead. What do you want me to do?
Come be a guest at the party, but be on the lookout for anything suspicious and nip it in the bud before it happens.
Is this a costume party? I don't do costumes.
Come on, Mr. Sparrow. Don't tell me you never dressed in disguise for a case.
Okay, once.
As what?
An old homeless lady.
I bet you made a wonderful old homeless lady. Did it help solve your case?
As a matter of fact, it did. I was very convincing.
Well, I won't put you to that much trouble. Just wear your normal private eye attire, but with a mask over your eyes. I have extras at the house. Shall we go?
The old enormous house was just like you'd expect a haunted house to look, including the gargoyle staring down from the roof. I expected to see Quasimodo lean out from behind one of them. We went inside. The entryway was huge. On the wall hung an enormous painting of an older, handsome woman. Is that...
Aunt Gertrude? Yes. Excuse me, that table goes in the other room.
Yes, ma'am. You heard her. Move the table.
Where were we? Ah, yes, the painting. She made sure you knew whose house this was when you entered the door. Amazingly, her real-life presence seemed even bigger.
So now are you going to get a painting of yourself to replace it?
Oh, no. I will let Aunt Gertrude stay in her place of honor. What do you think of the place?
If I was going to pick out the haunted house on the street, this would be the one. She certainly didn't have to decorate for Halloween, and I doubt she was bothered by trick-or-treaters.
I don't think so. Aunt Gertrude had a bit of the gothic in her. She also liked her privacy, and the look of the house didn't hurt. I was the exception. She took a liking to me early on. Of all the nieces and nephews, I was the chosen one for her. She was very fond of her brother, my father, far more than any of her other siblings.
Sounds like a recipe for jealousy.
It was, for sure. I believe she also felt sorry for me since I was the only child of my generation. I spent several weeks every summer here during school break. Frankly, all my cousins were a bit afraid of her. I think she liked it that way. I was the one to come stay with her in the end, during her final days. Those factors meant I was her sole heir. That was not popular among the cousins. It's a sizable inheritance.
That's why you think they're the ones plotting the haunted house routine. To scare you away, or at least get back at you.
Yes, I believe so.
Miss, may I have a word with you on some final details?
I'll be right there. You just make yourself at home and... look around the place. I'll catch up with you later before guests arrive.
Sure thing. She floated going away just like she had coming into my office. I turned and started exploring. As I was looking around the large first level, I spotted two of the catering staff huddled together like school kids passing notes in the back of a classroom. I worked my way around to a nearby doorway where I could listen in.
Is it all set?
Everything is in place, ready to spring.
Perfect. I'll let him know.
Just then, the doorbell started ringing and the guests were arriving. I put on the mask Abigail had given me. I felt like the Lone Ranger turned private eye. I mingled with the crowd, kept my ears and eyes open, but got mostly the normal party chit-chat. Abigail was standing with a man and a woman talking. She called me over to her.
Mr. Sparrow, I would like you to meet my cousins, Jules and Constance. This is my new friend, Jacob Sparrow. Don't you just love his mystery private eye costume?
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Sparrow.
I as well, Jules. Constance?
Excuse me, please. I have more details to take care of. I'll leave you three to chat.
With that, she left me to fend for myself with the cousins. I'd hoped to get some clue as to what they were up to.
How did you and Abigail meet?
Over a mutual interest in architecture. We were both admiring a building downtown and struck up a conversation. When she told me she lived in this house, I begged her to let me see it. That is when she invited me to this party. Isn't this house magnificent?
Yes, it is. Abigail was very lucky that Aunt Gertrude willed it all to her outright.
Indeed. What had you expected her to do?
We'd have thought she would have everything sold and split the proceeds among all the cousins of our generation.
Instead, she gave it all to Abigail. House, money, everything. This house alone is worth a fortune.
Some of the cousins want to dispute the will in court.
And you two?
We haven't decided. They would need us to go along. We hope Abigail might be reasonable about this whole thing.
Interesting. I hear rumors that the house is haunted.
Oh, nonsense. Where did you hear such a thing?
Granted, to the outside onlooker, it is certainly a house that looks like it could be haunted. I assure you, it's perfectly safe.
Well, I've enjoyed the chat, but I'll let you mingle with your friends at the party.
Enjoy the party, Mr. Sparrow.
I had wandered off from the cousins very puzzled. Yes, the two were clearly upset about the will, but I did not pick up on a plot going on. I kept an eye out the rest of the evening as guests came in and out. It was getting later in the evening, and the only ones left were me, the cousins, and the catering staff. I was grabbing a snack from the food table when I spotted one of the catering staff I had overheard before with the cousins huddled up like they were calling the next play. Jules handed the man an envelope, and then the huddle broke up. I turned my attention back to the food table and watched out of the corner of my eye as the two cousins went up the stairs. I turned quickly and went after the worker. I grabbed him and put him up against the wall. Start talking. I want to know what scheme you're planning here. Spill it.
Who are you? I'm not planning anything.
Don't give me that crap. I just saw the little money exchange between you and Jules.
I'm just a pawn in the plan. You should go ask Miss Fitzsimmons.
Miss Fitzsimmons? What does she have to do with this?
Please, ask her. She can explain.
I went and found Abigail. I think your cousins are up to something. They had an envelope exchange with one of the catering staff. Then they went upstairs.
That's perfect, Mr. Sparrow. Thank you. So, he did get some money out of Jules. Good for him. The cousins think Aunt Gertrude hid a treasure in the house they can take without me knowing about it. They think they headed to find it in her bedroom. This moment is the real reason I asked you here, just in case those two get out of hand.
She pulled out what looked like a remote of some kind, looked at it, smiled, and pushed it. The two cousins came running down the staircase sounding like a stampeding herd of buffalo. They stopped at Abigail.
This place is haunted.
You don't say. Really? What happened?
Aunt Gertrude jumped out at us and told us to get out.
This isn't over, Abigail.
What's not over? The already executed will giving me Aunt Gertrude's entire estate, or you trying to steal something out of my house?
How dare you accuse us of stealing anything?
So you were just reminiscing in her bedroom?
Oh, you can have this crazy old house!
They looked at Aunt Gertrude's painting and ran out of that door like a house cat that suddenly had somewhere else to be. Abigail walked to the door after them and yelled out,
I already have the house, but thank you. Well, Mr. Sparrow, you are my witness. You heard them say the house is mine.
What the hell just happened here?
Come, I'll show you.
She headed up the stairs, so I followed. Once we were in the bedroom, I saw a panel open in the wall with a perfect life-size replica of Aunt Gertrude in a black dress with a menacing scowl on her face in an alcove. I went over and took a look at it. Behind, you could see a mechanism of some sort out the back.
Step back, Mr. Sparrow.
As soon as I was out of range, Abigail pressed the remote, and Aunt Gertrude shot out of that alcove like she had just seen a snake. I jumped back myself.
This is what happened, Mr. Sparrow. I'm surprised Jules didn't mess his pants. He can be a bit of a wuss.
I could see how that would work. So you were the one making the house look haunted, not the cousins. There is no hidden treasure, is there? I went over and looked all around the contraption. Aunt Gertrude's unmoving face staring back at me.
Yes, I wanted the cousins to lose their desire to have my house. And no, there is no treasure.
So what makes it go back into the wall?
Back into the wall?
When we got here, Aunt Gertrude was in the wall.
I didn't know it could go back. Maybe the guys who installed it figured out a way to make it do that.
We went back downstairs. At the door to say our goodbyes, she handed me an envelope with the money we had agreed on. You take care of yourself, Abigail. I understand you have more cousins.
You too, Mr. Sparrow. Yes, I do, but hopefully after these two tell their story, that will be the end of it. There's a car to take you home.
I gave Aunt Gertrude's portrait one last look and headed out. As I was walking to the car and the door closed behind me, I couldn't get that stoic face of the figure that jumped out of the wall out of my head. Something was nagging me like a fly that just won't leave you alone. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I stopped at the car, and as I turned to take one more look at the grand old house, bam! It hit me like a gut punch in a bomb roll. The cousin said Aunt Gertrude told them to get out. The figure I examined in the bedroom had no movable mouth or speakers. I looked up at the window for the bedroom and was startled to see Aunt Gertrude with that stoic face standing in it in that black dress. I thought, who moved that figure to the window and why? That's when it happened. Aunt Gertrude looked down at me, smiled, and waved. For the second time that night, I jumped back. Before I could even settle myself, she had disappeared like the mist from a cheap home fog machine. Abigail had her haunted house, and she was clearly going to be safe in it.
That was The Case of the Haunted Inheritance by Andy Ralston Asamendi. This audio production was directed by Christian O'Neill, featuring the voices of Gary Pizzullo as Jacob Sparrow, Rhonda Lemon as Abigail Fitzsimmons, Jordan Long as Jules and Worker Number One, and Emily Moeller as Constance and Worker Number Two. Sound design and editing by Kenny Hurtling.
There's nothing more satisfying than another mystery solved.
Who drank the rest of my coffee?
And there are some mysteries that were never meant to be solved. This recording is a co-production of the Cary Playwrights Forum and Creative Greensboro as a part of the 2020 North Carolina Radio Play Festival. Say goodnight, Maxine.
What did you call me?
Oh, boy.